journey that people yes. took towards sexual gratification.
Way back. And
mind you, if you think about even
that, yeah.
how dildos and masturbation devices mm-hmm. came from trying to cure mm-hmm. mental health in
yeah.
women. Like, I don't know if any one of our viewers knew that, mm-hmm. but the first dildos, the first clit stimulations, all of those things came from trying to cure hysteria.
We need a disclaimer on this
yes.
episode.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so like when we
don't
think
watch
about,
this in front of your children.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Couch Chronicles. We're going to start with a bit of mindfulness. We're going to do a word association mindfulness today. So what I want you all to do is get into a comfortable position. You can close your eyes or take a low gaze, whatever feels good to you. And I just want you to notice what sensations, urges, or thoughts might come up for you with each word. Submission. Top. Dominant. Gag. Handcuff. Passion. Bottom. Sensational. Switch. Deep. Moist. Strap. Allow any thoughts, urges to slowly drift away. Bring yourself back into the space. You can move around a bit. A few more deep, intentional breaths here at the end. And gently blink your eyes open.
Ooh, shit.
You look like you're over there sweating, Jay. Well, I guess we got the party started. Okay, so what are some things that you all noticed about yourself with the words?
My heart was racing, or at least let's say the speed of it was a lot more intense in the beginning of the mindfulness versus towards like the end. I noticed that there wasn't, there was a kind of like calmness or relaxation, less tension in my chest. Like I was like holding my stomach or something earlier. I noticed there was less of that. Yeah.
Okay. So not too many sensations, maybe noticing some increase in heart rate at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Any particular thoughts that came to mind with any of the words?
As you kind of said some of the words, I noticed like some images showing up. I remember when you had said the word handcuff, a kind of question came in of like, was I already having some preloaded like images in mind that I was like kind of just like associating or was I allowing like the natural discovery, if you will, of like,
Were you thinking or were you just having a thought?
Yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of one of the things that I noticed there was that one, there was a lot of images, but then as I kind of registered that my body was more relaxed, the images were less vivid.
Okay.
In terms of like the intensity of like the act or the things that I was like seeing.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Jay? Because I saw some response on your face.
I like the fact that you took time with each word. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you allowed me to visualize different things. I noticed that I had some physical sensation where I noticed my face is grinning. I had the urges to laugh. I definitely had some different images with different things. I think three words that kind of stood out for me was dominant, moist, and handcuffed.
Yes.
And I wanted to laugh.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, let me stop. Mm. But yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good. So it definitely sounds like your body and your mind offered you quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any thoughts or beliefs that came up for you about any other words?
No, I had no beliefs. I had thoughts. I don't think there was no belief or judgment around my thoughts. I think with every word, I was able to, something just came to mind. I wasn't pushing it.
There was some sort of reference.
Yeah, like a memory. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And nothing was discomforting about any of
it. Okay.
So I should say that.
I'm glad that you leaned into it, even though your mind and body was offering you a lot.
It was. It was offering me a lot.
Yeah.
I was towards the end, I'm like, how much more words you got? Because
I think I noticed some things about myself as I was saying them, like perhaps even maybe some like very slight feelings of embarrassment, some like feelings of excitement came up, like some curiosity. Yeah.
So, what were some of the words that, was there a particular word that kind of had the thoughts of embarrassment?
I hate the word moist. I felt embarrassed saying that. Yeah. And excitement around others.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an exciting topic today, Jay.
I guess you guys can guess what we're getting into today.
What are we talking about, Ty?
We're going to be talking about kinks.
Yes.
Kinks, kinks. Okay, so what is a kink exactly? What's that?
Well, I mean, I think when we think of kinks, or at least when I think of kinks, I think of the image right in my mind is like whips, chains, black, leather.
Fetish.
Like, so I often think of like things that are outside of the norm of what people practice in the bedroom. I think of taboo. I think of closed door, you know, situation. 50 Shades of Grey, Red Room. That's what I think of when I think of kinks.
Yeah. Okay.
Those images come to mind, but words, like different words, like you said, like fetishes and whips. Like, it just, words are associated with it for me. I think fun. I also think passion. I also think secrets. There's something about the word kink that seems, because like you said, I do think non-social norms. I think fluidity. I don't think conservative.
Right, openness.
Miss that comes to mind.
But I also think of clothes too, because often a lot of people really explore their kinks in secret.
Right. So I was going to say maybe clothes like private.
Right. Yeah. In a private space, you know, that's where that closed door, or like even that, like there's a time and place kind of thing for that. It's not something that is like, oh, seen as every day for some folks versus other people who often say that they're engage in a kinky lifestyle, right? That shows a lifestyle means that that is part of their everyday thing, versus I think most people look at kink as more of like dessert, if you will, like a treat for yourself, situation.
Go ahead.
No, and what I was also going to say, there's something about, it leads to many different interpretations.
Yeah.
Just the word alone. It's not, you know, just one interpretation of what it is.
How have like kinks come up for you all as clinicians?
Well, this is what I do. So. So for me, you know, like doing sex therapy or doing couples therapy, it's something that I do incorporate, because it is something that, you know, I think we're taught to stay with traditional norm of what sensuality is and intimacy and sexuality, like how to really connect with it. And I do think that it's another thing to bring into the relationship, because people do have different thoughts and exploration about things they want to explore with a partner and things like that. So in my work, it comes up all the time. And for me, I've always wanted to talk about it and explore it, right? Because, you know, I always go back and whenever somebody asks me, it's like, when I lost my virginity, I just felt like, yeah, this is not how I'm supposed to be. There was nothing pleasurable about that.
This couldn't be it.
This is like trash. And I just felt like, no, I don't believe like it's only a man who's supposed to be pleasured. Like, what are some things? And I think from like reading, so, you know, I'm someone, y'all know me. If I don't understand something, I'm going to deep dive into the research of it. So I think when I was reading the Kama Sutra and learning about sensuality, learning about these different things, like to explore and to be intimate with yourself about, intimate with a partner about. So I think the new age of like when kinks came to like, it always existed.
But
after that 50 Shades of Grey, it brought light to that other world of it. But think about role plays in the bedroom, you know, and things like that. The different type of fantasies like people have around that, incorporating that in their relationship, is what I tell couples. It's like, be open, especially if you're in a fully committed, long-lasting relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's like this is a lifetime partner. I definitely, you know, always encourage couples to kind of like talk to them about some things that you would never talk to anybody about.
Sure.
That you are curious about exploring.
Explore those kinks.
Because it's between you and that person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I also think kinks can be explored even outside of your long-term partnership, right?
I think
Like exploring kinks in your friendships, like just being able to openly discuss those things, kind of talking about what we discussed before about intimacy,
right? Normalizing that.
Often I think people aren't as willing to talk about these things, because before, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Grey brought like the BDSM kink community out into the mainstream, right? Like it was often something that people participated in. I mean, if you look at the Museum of Sex in New York, and you go there and you see the history of sex,
like you're encouraging y'all to go there.
No, literally, it's quite interesting. Like you see all the different like journey that people took towards sexual gratification. Dildos and masturbation devices came from trying to cure mental health in women. Like, I don't know if anyone of our viewers knew that, but the first dildos, the first clit stimulations, all of those things came from trying to cure hysteria.
We need a disclaimer on this episode.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so like when we think
about... Don't watch this in front of your children.
Yes. Yes. And so there is kind of, when I think about kink, is like being able to be open with it without the fear of judgment. And despite us wanting to believe that there's a separation of like church and state, there is a lot of moral teachings around what is appropriate, what is, you know, devilish, what is impure and mm-hmm. all of those things.
Dirty.
And so, exactly. And not kink clean. Often looks is like a rebellion, and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a pursuit of pleasure mm-hmm. despite the constraints of society.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What are some like specific kinks that you all are aware of or?
Aware of, engage in, it's like I'm joking.
I would not
are you really joking?
But...
don't do that.
I often think of certain kinks that I think initially were seen as more taboo that has kind of now integrated themselves into vanilla sex. I would say like things like spanking,
yep.
choking, biting. What's it called?
Praise kinks,
mm-hmm. Orgasm control. For mm-hmm. those of us who don't know, that's, you know, stimulating your partner to a certain point, but not allowing them to go to completion as a means to increase the
anticipation,
the
arousal,
explosion
yeah.
mm-hmm.
of the orgasm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else? I'm trying to think.
When I think of, well, Steph has named a good amount of it, but I also think about role play.
Yes.
I think about... one thing that I think that's really like huge is power and empowerment.
Yes.
With kinks give you a sense of empowerment and power.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the word that you used in the mindfulness, dominance, and things like that, and submission. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about kinks is that you have to be willing to submit and surrender to like the experience itself, no matter what that engagement of that experience
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm. I think that safety is coming up again.
Yeah.
Yes.
We
yep.
got a theme going here around like how do you even feel safe to engage in kinks and like.
Well, the three episodes we talked about, like vulnerability, intimacy, and now kinks all involve a level of
safety.
Trust. And
for
safety.
Sure. For mm-hmm. sure.
And
for
can
sure.
I also say, we haven't really delved into, I would say, the more taboo ones. Like, for mm-hmm. example, there's knife play.
Yeah.
There is, what's it called, people who are into asphyxiation. There is furries. There is people who are into, what is this play? Predator prey, where one person yeah. is the predator and they'll like go out prey. Into the yep. like woods and almost kind of like it's adult hide and seek.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Like some sort of hunting.
There yeah. is obviously rope play where people are tied up. And that is also an art form that people do where they tie people up in certain positions. Yeah. I forgot what the
My ancestors say no to that one.
Right. There's also
comfort.
Back to safety. There's also aftercare and before care that does.
Yes, yes that's necessary for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the difference between kinks and sex? Is there a difference?
Well, I think that, like, to me, kinks just kind of seem like the bonus package, you know? Like, if you get in the car, you get the basic model, then the kinks are, like, the add-ons, the extra, mm-hmm. the additional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also think kinks can happen outside of the bedroom.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things, like, in terms of the foreplay,
the anticipation
yeah. mm-hmm. that often happens with kinks, if you will. I think mm-hmm. you can... have engage in kinks without sex, but
yeah.
I often don't think that sex can happen without kinks. As well too, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not really
one of the they
one
don't have
the
to
other.
Always go mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Good,
I think one that I don't know if we talked about. I just lost it now. There was another one that I was interested in. It'll come back for
okay.
sure.
Good deal.
It'll come back to me. So am I a bad therapist? You know, what are some kinks that you might struggle with accepting or hearing?
Well, I think what you talked about with the rope.
Yeah, my ancestors are like, girl, no.
But predator and prey is something that I do feel uncomfortable about. And it's also something that... I think when couples are discussing it in sessions, that I'm like, oh, okay. Especially when one of the role plays, like the partner is like somebody is pretending to be like a child or something, that type of thing.
Right. Like if there's some sort of
like
pedophilia
like the
focus.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry, that was a judgment.
Can I just, for our viewers,
it's not
pedophilia is not the same as a kink when you're playing with age stuff. So
exactly.
Just to be clear, for the therapists right. who have that,
that was my judgment.
Yes.
A bit further, but I understand there's age play
yes,
that
age
you're referring
yes.
to, but there's
yes.
also I think there's the breastfeeding one.
Yes, that's uncomfortable.
And that one, I definitely remember when I first got exposed, I was like, interesting.
Yep, and that's exactly what I say with everything.
Interesting.
Let's explore
that. Mine is definitely race play is one of those
race
ones.
Play for sure is a hard no for
and
me.
And I got introduced to that mostly through the Doja Cat situation and like how in chat rooms she was going into chat rooms that was predominantly white male centered and allowing them to say certain things. But it's quite common.
Yeah.
Actually, in interracial relationships, that's something that kind of like shows up there.
Yeah.
I'm kinks that involve secretion.
Yeah.
I can see what it's
like. Yeah. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe.
Yep, not little chain.
So things that come with defecation, urination, even if that person is wanting me to do that, and you'd be quite shocked by the people who are wanting that.
Yeah, right. So I guess, like, as a therapist, what do you do when a client might come to you with a kink that you might deem to be strange?
I remember my code of ethics. I'm not even going to lie. I am really good at compartmentalizing and literally reminding myself, Jay, this is not your thing. This is somebody's thing. You are paid to do a job and meeting them where they're at. So I observe my judgments and discomforts.
For sure.
And I also like go back into separating myself from the client.
Yeah. And I think that is really important. Like, it can be hard to do that, right? Sometimes it can be really difficult to separate from your morals or even sometimes within our code of ethics. Like, are there any kinks that you would like be concerned about? Or that feel unethical?
There has been situation where, that's why I say after and before care is important, because there's a situation where a client has brought up where kinks can be sometimes, depending on the intensity of it, like abusive
and
not really cared for. So there's concerns around that where I have put a pause and put a stop and think, hey, this is concerning to me. And, there needs to be a modification or like really making room for that person.
Yeah, making room for that
safety
piece.
Because someone can be a victim of like certain experiences that they're
And there's also, like you said, that trust part. Often when you are engaging in kinks with other people, you are relinquishing a lot of control and often a lot of like decision making. So like it's not until you have kind of emerged from that space that you can really kind of, and even then the position and the perspective at which that you're kind of looking at the scene that you were playing out with is often like, wait, I did ask for this, but then also recognizing there's control or there is power within submission. And I even remember like when I was doing my own personal research around the BDSM community and like kinks. Mm-hmm. There's often a lot of DOMs who don't recognize that the sub actually has the power in the dynamic, right?
So like them being able to. What a DOM.
Okay, so a DOM, or when we're looking at like bondage, when we're looking at like BDSM is like bondage. Sadism, masochism, and...
I can't pronounce
dominance?
Yes, thank you. That's what that one looks like. So with a dominant, they're the person who, let's say, is the lieutenant, the general. They're the one that sets up, implements, directs. Controls the sexual scene, right? They're aware of the submissive, the person who's giving the control. They're aware of the person's limitations. They're aware of the things that they enjoy, like, you know, their what they're into versus all these different things.
Yeah, the goal that they want to achieve.
That's before care piece, right?
Yes, like knowing what is allowed, right? What is to be expected. There's still spontaneity, right? But you're kind of like letting them know these are the parameters of my pleasure.
Right.
And so that's what a dominant, I'm sure there's a deeper definition of that, but that's what a dom does in that moment. So from the research that I was doing, there was often a lot of men and women, but often it's men who are holding that role who would abuse their power and often take, how do I say, leisure in like getting their mm-hmm. pleasures met mm-hmm. over that of the person that they're interacting with. And yeah. so that's where the abuse easily gets yeah. kind of like, mm-hmm. and the power
it can
dynamic.
Get blurry, right? Like yeah. that there's like a lack of consideration mm-hmm. for the other people and like what the other person mm-hmm. might consent to for yes. sure. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what do you, I guess, and also to your question, for me, I often found myself being very curious about
sure,
like,
yeah.
when people bring up things, first of all, kinks I've never heard of, mm-hmm. kinks that I didn't realize that people, you know, really like engaged mm-hmm. in. Because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you hear things, but like to be like, someone is actually engaging in this,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
type of thing, it's a whole like shift. And so for me, it's a lot of curiosity around
yeah.
when people kind of bring that stuff up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I am also kind of curious about like the images that you received around kinks. Like, did they, were they people that looked like you? Were they, how did you kind of learn about that?
Yeah.
I think.
Let me just say, it wasn't connected to Black people.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it. That was not who was.
I think the soft version of it was the Kama Sutra for me, but okay. it was more. Because I was from like the ancient Egypt and stuff like that, there were Black people anyway. So in my mind, I envisioned Black. But the more I get, you know, I got into it.
For mainstream for, yeah, and like what is definitely more popular. Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of came, that come to mind. It's more like of the colonizer.
That's type. Interesting. I think I find that perhaps like kinks are a little bit more even like secretive and like this, like almost this like underground experience
society.
For
yeah.
Black people for
it
sure.
Is. I was about to say. And I think. Well, why do you think that is? Because I think my...
Because power was
my
shame.
Exactly.
But I would say power and shame, but I feel like power was
but
taken...
But it's within the community.
Yes, yeah. within the community, power was already stolen from yeah. the Black community. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, like, it is kind of looked at... Like, for people who are into being spanked or mm-hmm. who are into physical pain and, mm-hmm. like, they enjoy in sex,
yeah.
right? There often is this kind of, like... like question of like, were you abused when you
right,
were younger?
Right, right. Like, there's a lot like of like trauma, like people trying to attach some trauma to
or like a distortion
to,
or like there's yeah. some
let's
type
talk
of,
about that. There, just because someone is into kink does not mean they've experienced a sense of trauma.
Exactly. Yeah,
because that definitely is attached to it.
Yeah,
like this person have like a long
history. Oh, are you submissive trauma? Because yeah. you were this, that, yeah. and the third? Are you someone yeah. who's dominant because you didn't have like power? Like there's mm-hmm. often there's a lot of. The word is like escaping me. Mm-hmm.
Assumptions or
just trying to make correlations, perhaps yeah. between like the trauma and
psychopathy.
Like, people,
is yeah. that what the word I'm trying to use? Like, there's
okay,
a lot of like, sorry, like there's a lot of like making it seem like that you're. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like
yep.
I can't, the word
yep.
is still escaping the word that I'm trying to use,
yeah.
but there
yeah.
is like, there's some psychopathy, like you're crazy, there's mm-hmm. you're off, you're not normal.
There's some history, right.
Around yeah. that. So in the Black mm-hmm. community, think about that. You already were ostracized for mm-hmm. things that you were outside of your control. So you don't want to be further ostracized
right.
in
right.
a sexual place. And if we think about our history with sex, sex was often used as a way of control with Black men,
mm-hmm.
with Black women, their children. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
well,
there's
I'm
a.
About to talk, I'm gonna bring it more. Religion.
Yeah. yeah.
Religion has been weaponized when it yes. comes to sex and kinks and things like that. So I think that's one of the reasons, whether it's Black, African community, wherever you're coming from, I think one of the taboo around that is that it's this. Spiritually okay? Is this ethically
yeah.
okay? Is this, you know, like you said,
am I clean?
This,
am I pure?
Is this right? Is this the devil? You engaging in devil's work and worshiping and
right.
whatever the stuff may be that
mm-hmm.
people
and
come up
unfortunately,
with.
Unfortunately, I think that a lot of the like parameters, religious specifically, are very like male centered, like.
Mm. Because women are always seen as the problem. You're the reason why I can't keep myself pure. You're mm. the reason why I can't keep myself on the straight and narrow, right, Eve?
Which is crazy because they used to use women to purify themselves, just so quickly.
And
in Asian Hithu.
And children. Let's put it
yes.
all out there. So like it's yes. like really looking at, like you said, often the rules around sex were made by the same people who then kind of push it on us for the reason why they can't like keep it together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't show your shoulders. Don't show your shirt. Don't bat your eyelids. Don't wear red nail polish. Don't wear red lipstick. Like, don't do these things.
Especially black women. I think about how like historically like black women have been like hypersexualized in such a way, like our appearance, and for things that we don't have control over.
And it carries shame to their sexuality.
So I think that there is a lot of like shame that is attached to that, or like the desire to protect yourself from being sexualized. And that has now like been perpetuated in our communities. Don't dress like that. Don't look like this. Don't behave like this.
You look like you're fast. Yes.
That's right. I was just about to say, you're called fast for just regular sex. Let alone you trying to do something
what's
else.
Crazy? Like, so when I have a couple that I was seeing, and the husband wanted to explore like different kinks and excitement in the bedroom. Long story short, one of the things, he stepped out of the relationship, and one of the things he complained about is that he was involved in that world prior to getting married. But those are things that kind of came around that in terms of like, but then you married somebody that was kind of opposite of that, right?
Yeah.
That was very vanilla.
I think that's so tough,
then,
right?
Right. But so then when I met with the spouse one-on-one to explore like, what was her views on sex? What was her views on intimacy and things like that? And because her whole thing, she would judge him around like some things he wanted to try in the bedroom, which is why he ended up shutting down. And she was saying she would never forget it. Cause I had to break it down. She was like, where are you going with this? I was like, cause you got a message somewhere that kind of give you this limitation. Like it should only be this way. Mm-hmm. So she said she was 15 years old. She was in the 10th grade. And she, you know, when squirts were a thing, like, you know, everybody had like skirts. So she had so skirt is like a skirt from the front, but it's like a pants. Mm-hmm. So she wore that and she had a tank top. And when she was walking out the house, her mom saying, what do you look like a whore. Why do you have that on? Mm-hmm. Why is your stomach out? So you go from being like smart. I didn't raise you like that. Where did you get this from? And that was the first time they gave her money. She got money from her uncle. She bought something that she wanted to buy. And then she said she remember, like, she's like, you can leave there if you want to. But if you get violent, don't cry. I think her words were, if a boy rape you, don't cry about it. And I said, damn, that's harsh for just a squirt, right? But then it goes into that deeper in a sense of, like, she transitioned slowly into like wearing tomboy, wearing long clothing and things like that, and believe that. And she said she found herself judging other girls who had their stomach out, who wore tight clothing. And she, even for prom, didn't even want to wear like something fitting. So then it leaked into the bedroom as it leads to like, if she did certain things, only like whores do that, like bitches do that. Like, I'm not, like she would tell him, like, I'm not your bitch, don't treat me like a bitch. And it would be simple things of like role play. And I shared the story because it was powerful how this one woman's view was changed just from a comment of it. Sometimes we're skewed as it relates to our upbringing does play a role terms of like how we experience sex, how we experience sexuality, the intimacy of it. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, for me, I'm like, there's just no way where it's just penetration supposed to bring pressure. This is just not, like, something about that is just not okay.
It doesn't sit right.
But I mean, and if you think about it, though, it doesn't sit.
I didn't wait this long, like,
but
at least
you were willing to search more. There's so many women out there that have, first of all, weren't even told about, like, what sex is supposed to feel like. Like, I think about, for those of our Bridgerton fans out here.
Yeah, that Bridgerton.
You know?
Yes.
And like, how every woman is literally, like, they have no idea what sex is. Like, they have no. So if their husband, mind you, who has been having sex since they were, 14, 15 years old?
That's how they broke
into
it.
And mind you, having sex with the prostitutes at the what's it called,
at the houses?
At the brothels. Mm-hmm. So they have certain, what's it called, experiences at certain things. Then they get to their very, not even virginal, like fully ignorant, like unaware of human anatomy. Like, and then they have sex.
Because remember, there's one scene where the guy introduced her to the dildo, like, give her this toy. Or told her, no, she encouraged her to play with
herself. To masturbate. Just to masturbate. And she just was like,
what?
What am I supposed to, like, even
do that?
Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm even watching the current season 3, and the mom is trying to Lady Featherington is trying to get the daughters, the oldest daughters, to have sex. And they're like, yeah, I lay with my husband. Start talking about it. She's like, oh, look, have you? She's like, yeah, I lay with my husband every night. It's fine. Come to find out, they weren't even like having intercourse where penetration was happening. She thought that like
laying down was literally.
Or like they're like, wait, it's supposed to go inside me? Like we kiss and whatever, he makes a noise and like he changes his britches. That was, so like if you imagine, a lot of women like don't even know that like what a kink would be, let alone.
Sure, like, but even thinking about what that looks like in like today.
Now. Yes.
Yeah, there is like a lot of like miseducation. I think like the internet can definitely be like both a gift and a curse.
Yep.
But like you think about how like so many things are like overly sexualized and like there's so much access to sex that it's like more for like TV and not for real life.
Yeah.
Porn.
Or kids being introduced early before you even.
Way too soon.
You don't even understand like intimacy, let alone like regular sex with your partner. You're like, as again, we talked about kinks are a certain level of openness.
Yeah.
Trust. And that's coming like before you even like are aware of who you are.
Yeah.
And what's going on.
And porn is a whole different type of topic. Like.
And also a kink, right?
And it definitely changed, mind you, what porn looks like.
And it's very accessible. We talk about the young kids like earlier. It's very accessible to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Like of like too early.
You can go on Twitter and find yourself a whole situation that you, and mind you, you weren't even looking for, supposedly.
Right, not even looking hard.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, how do you think that perhaps like people's exposure to sexuality, kinks, like how do you think that can maybe even shape their mental health?
Obsession. I have clients who obsess about either wanting more, wanting to explore more, not noticing their limitation, or I have clients who now have used their body as like a commodity or a prize towards it. So that's when we gotta bring it back a little bit, because then now it no longer becomes like healthy,
right? When you're fit, that's your only way of validation.
I was telling like it shouldn't be to your detriment,
right?
For your senses,
because it's a disconnection of self at that point.
Right.
You're not at that point. The intimacy is not incorporating self, right? It's outside of you know yourself. And I do believe your exposure to sex, to kinks, definitely affects your mental health. When we look at like how shame can really affect people's like outlook of themselves, their self-identity, the way that they show up with other people, right? Like you said that one client that you had, because of their interactions and their shame that shows up, or excuse me, guilt, or actually shame in that way for themselves, that how that showed up with their judgment for other people.
For other people.
How that morphed into judging yourself.
And also got in the way of them exploring themselves.
Yeah.
They've never mastered a video until they met me. Ever.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because of that one comment. Mm-hmm. They never explore sex and it's fullness.
And women are always so shy. Yeah. I even remember growing up, even when I, the whole thing with me masturbating when I was, it was a whole, like, it was shameful. Like, it was shame, like, how could you do
it? How did you explore it, though? How did you find it?
That's interesting, because I kind of still feel shameful, but not for, like, reasons of other people feeling shame. I just kind of feel like sometimes, like, get somebody else to do it.
But you know, here's the thing. I discovered masturbation literally coincidentally. Through showering. My mother decided to buy a head-on shower. You know how I'm with you. And I said, oh, this tingly, this feels real nice. And I just now kept going to the shower. Like, that was like the thing. But I feel like masturbation helped me appreciate and really like engage
yourself.
Sex in a more healthy
and understand
way.
Yourself
for sure.
Yes.
In a more healthier way, because that's why I said I had to do my research first, because I know it couldn't be this like end all be all.
And I think
have
that
I not took the time to discover myself, I couldn't tell my partner how to pleasure me or what my pleasure.
That
is.
Goes back to what we talked about a couple of episodes ago around like that intimacy with yourself.
Yep.
Like really actually knowing, like
knowing
you got
to
do some self exploration to even know what those kinks are.
I literally work with clients through mindfulness to how does it feel to touch different parts of your body.
Yeah.
Because what people don't understand, we have different sensation
like androgynous zones, baby.
Different places. There's certain parts of your body that responds to a stimulation that you intensity that you didn't even know.
You've got to explore that.
So it's really taking that time. Yeah. And that's how I'm able to kind of like.
And I think that's the key piece when we're looking at kinks, when we're looking at sexuality and sensuality. Sensuality is your ability to connect with yourself, your sense of like self. And so like even being able to recognize what turns you on versus what does not feel good, right? Because if you think about also when you talk about like porn and talk about things, there's often things that are seen and that you think is supposed to be how your body responds. And when you feel like, wait, why is my body not responding the way that this thing told
somebody,
me
right?
I'm supposed to. There's must be something.
That's what
shame.
There's
like why, like there must be something off about me that makes it like that I can't do this thing that I'm seeing. But if like again, through self-exploration, through masturbation, through touch, you start to be like, oh wait, this is what works for me. You know, and this is what leads me to get this maximum amount of pleasure. And then you being comfortable enough to talk to that
to
about
share
your partner.
That with your,
I always say that increases your everyone's sexual gratification. Like,
and that's what I tell couples. Like, you know, you'll never know like what you share with a partner. It might have been their thing too that they didn't even know
and
about.
Exactly.
I have found that to be hard. I am gonna say that like perhaps you also maybe need a partner who is also in touch with themselves and like understanding of what their own desires are, because as we have talked about, I have a strong personality. So if I'm into something, I'm gonna like talk about it, be interested in it, be curious about it. And I found that like some of my previous partners like really internalized that as like a, I'm not doing something right.
Exactly.
Instead of like a let's try this
explore
or explore
it.
This. Mm-hmm. It was very much taken like a
you're not satisfying.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I've for sure found that more in like male partners and like I don't know what to do with that.
Right. And it's the thing about it is meeting them where they're at, but they also have to be open to wanting to know this is not a them thing. This is like something.
And that's not
that,
something I have control over.
You can't do that. So that's what I'm saying. In a sense of like, hey, I'm sharing this interest, but then there might be something more for you that feel like we talk about the core senses. That might be something more for you on that end that leads to your performance. So it might have been a history of somebody telling them that they're not performing at their best, so they're not enough. So that's usually when things like that happen in relationships, it's usually around that, around like not feeling enough and not wanting enough. But also what came to mind is that how about two people who are actually vanilla, who are actually didn't take the chance to explore sex and how what excites
or
them
with
their
or
body or their
things
and things like that. I have worked with so much couples who just slowly introducing them to just sitting with themselves first. Sitting with themselves first, doing that exploration, and then bringing your partner in to actually just sit with them.
Yeah, because you can ask
for
what you want.
Just touch each other. Like, teaching people it's okay to kind of make each other's body a vessel for each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in that, like you said, a safe relationship, a safe space, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a relationship, it's really allowing your body and your mind to be a vessel for that person, vice versa. Like, that equal
I definitely
space.
Agree.
But, yeah.
Okay, so I think we can get into our insight from the couch. Just kind of continuing the conversation around like challenges with intimacy, sex, exploring kinks. I think sexual dysfunction definitely plays a part into that. Like how there's a lot of shame and like guilt related to like very normal human
body
experience. It's
biological.
Like your body changes constantly, like literally changes the only constant or the only thing that you can guarantee that is going to happen to your body. And there's so much like shame around that as it relates to sex. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you know, if you want me to, you know, since I am the oldest one here, I would say our body changes the older we get. And I think it's important for people to notice that men and women is that you're not going to, the 19, the 14, and the 15 that was performing, it's not going to be the same at 30.
Yeah, you're not going to be hitting 40, that like you are
50,
saying you're 20.
60, and 70. So literally meeting yourself where you're at every time. I think for me, what I discovered was true, even though I teach about it, I talk about it all the time, is that, actually, when I hit 40 and 40s, I noticed that naturally I wasn't producing the moisture that I wanted to intimately. Mm. So there was, I needed some like lubrication and being open to that. And also letting men know that over time, you know, erectile dysfunction can develop. And it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy sex, you can't have sex. Outside of medication that they have out there, it's also what I tell men with erectile dysfunction is that once they realize their body's not doing what they're supposed to, they develop a sense of anxiety around it, and they become obsessed
with that. Right, so I was going to say that.
So that kind of worsened that. So I teach them to really connect with the fact that, because there are times where they're able to keep a erection. Yeah. So like focusing on that, and also like noticing like with men and women, our moods change. That's why when we're talking about hormones, y'all got it too. Hormones are everywhere. Your mood is going to change. So for women, your libido, after childbirth, your libido may change. People don't know this, but if you've had a long history of taking birth control, your libido will change because that affects your hormones to some capacity.
Changing your environment,
your circumstances will definitely change.
Yeah, and also like what we eat also can really like change our like libido and our interest and our motivation to have sex.
Yeah.
So being mindful about like the diet that we are engaged in.
And how you take care of your body as well. I think that in my experience, particularly with working with Black men, there is certainly a lot of like pressure put on to like how you are supposed to perform based off of like what society feels like a Black man is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of new research has shown that like people are experiencing erectile dysfunction much younger because of environmental stress the way that you might eat,
and
the things
genetics
that you might engage in, genetics, the overexposure to sexualization, can impact that.
Also, gym bros, you might want to look at that pre-workout.
The pre-workouts
that you're taking, those stimulants can affect you. The high caffeine intake, the creatine, the
high soy products can also really
all of that stuff can affect you know, not only your ability to get erect, but to stay erect or to perform longer. So like there's definitely a lot of different things. And I also, for me personally, even when we're talking about like as you get older, there are certain things that you might be into now that you weren't necessarily like aware of kind of like before. I remember growing up, there's a lot of things I was like, I'm not gonna do that, but that all came from like rules that I was operating from
at that time.
And as I've gotten older, certain things that are still hard limits for me have stayed a hard limit. But other things, I'm like, with the right partner, with the right space, I'm open to that. You know, that kind of stuff. And so that'd be one thing to think about. And then also, as I got into my 30s, I noticed that my sex drive had reduced. And that was interesting, especially calling myself and knowing myself to be a very sexual, you know, being, have a high sex drive and things of that nature, and noticing that I wasn't really on my, like, especially even when I was in the relationship, I just felt a certain level of contentment there. And it's also kind of uncovered that maybe sex for me was something that I was using as a means to feel more secure in a relationship. And once I felt secure, that wasn't something that was needed.
I agree too.
Like a thing to be
the
like.
The priority around it has shifted. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm also going to back it up a little bit because I do make this a point. If you masturbate a lot, whether you're men or women, or if you've been masturbating at a very young age, it would affect you in the long run in terms of, you know, if you masturbate a lot, the older you get, you're going to have a hard time having an orgasm.
Yeah. Sensitivity goes down.
So there's levels of that. So be mindful of like, or if you watch porn a lot and then you're masturbating while you're watching porn too, that can also affect.
That affects your ability outside of that space.
So there's always a balance for everything, and with moderation and just being mindful. Like when you are engaging in these things, though they're exciting, it's fine. Like for example, the rose is great, y'all. Like with men, but stop using that rose though. I have to tell you all the time. That rose, because of the intensity
then
of it.
You'll be singing like Issa Rae, bro.
Yeah, you using like Issa Rae, but then you won't be 40, and you in your 40s and 50s and not wondering why
also
you're not
why your partner is not stimulating you as much. It's not because your partner is, but let's be serious. The octaves and the vibration.
No human will never reach that.
Thank you. Repeat that. Repeat that time.
No human.
Unless you're having sex with Flash, Superman. Right. Like I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
It's not going to
Don't have that expectation.
It's not going to
move
the
same. Don't have that expectation. Yeah. And also what I tell couples, and you can incorporate toys also. We could incorporate that as well into, you can incorporate toys into your bedroom.
Yeah.
So even if you with a partner, if you not, you didn't get stimulated yet, or you didn't orgasm, but if you know the toy will get you, bring it in there and have your partner also stimulate you in that sense.
I think priming your partner for that too, right? A lot of it definitely starts with the discussion, right? Like, what do I want? What do I need from this experience? What are we both willing to engage in?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. All right. So I feel like we did a whole little series here.
We did.
We talked about vulnerability. We talked about relationship. We talked about intimacy. And we like in this with like good old kinks and sex. So this was great.
I know. It got me a little bit out of my comfort zone, you know.
Yeah, I'd be holding my intimate moments close. You said this episode you was going to be, you know,
lying. I didn't lie, y'all.
Notice she didn't say that much, though, either. She didn't say that much, either.
I mean, there's always more to be
said. Right. Don't call me out. We got more episodes.
Right. But all that. But this was definitely a good conversation. And I'm glad that we chose to talk about kinks instead of just sex.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And kind of like, you know, because it's not talked about.
Yeah.
And it is taboo. But, you know, encouraging people to also exploring that part.
That key thing around the exploration, too, is like establishing that safety in your relationship.
Yeah.
It's needed across the board for intimacy, for kinks, for sex, for whatever type of engagement that you're going to be in.
All right.
So our final words are for you guys, explore your kinks, talk to your partner, talk to yourself, explore your body, see what you like, see what you're into, and
be non-judgmental.
Be non-judmental.
Big. We'll see you back at the couch. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jay.
I'm Sparkle Ty.
Bye.